You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Iwi leader and climate activist Mike Smith had put forward a landmark climate litigation case against major polluters in New Zealand, set to be heard in April next year. The government, however, changed the law this year to prevent this case from going forward, claiming that it reduced business confidence in the legal system. Smith, in response, has launched a new case against the government directly, claiming that in putting forward this change, the government only consulted with the defendants and did not talk to him. To discuss the full situation, the likelihood of success for Smith, and the ramifications of this case going forward, I spoke to Associate Professor of Law, Vernon Rive.
So I think we are going to start with something about the legal background to the Smith and Fonterra case itself.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to start because it feels like, I mean, maybe a lot of people haven't heard about it, but in law circles it was discussed as sort of being a fairly groundbreaking case.
Yeah.
Could you go into why that was and why this case was seen as so important?
Yeah, so Mike Smith, he's this an iwi leader from Northland. He's got customary interests in land up there, and he sued six of the largest emitters in New Zealand. These are companies such as Fonterra, Genesis, New Zealand Steel. And what he was arguing was that their activities were contributing to climate change effects, which were damaging his land and the land of his whānau and iwi, and that the contributions towards greenhouse gas emissions that those big companies made were what's called civil wrongs to him. So this is torts in legal terms, and that the courts should do something about it. So it was a big deal because most of the litigation on climate change issues so far has been in the public area, not really involving these private law claims such as torts. So he was met with an application to stop that proceeding happening at all by the corporate defendants. This is called a strikeout claim. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, which ruled after some major hearings in early 2024 that Mike Smith's claim should go to trial. And this was groundbreaking both in New Zealand and also internationally because it provided an opportunity for the courts to really have a hard look at whether these ancient legal mechanisms of torts could be used in the 21st century in the climate change context. And that hearing was set down to be heard in the High Court over 15 weeks. It would be New Zealand's longest climate change trial that was due to start in April of 2027. But then in May of this year, after lobbying by corporate interests, including some of the defendants in this case, the Minister of Justice, Paul Goldsmith, announced that the government was going to introduce legislation that would stop the case from going ahead and would prohibit any other cases like it from being launched.
What are the grounds behind the government making this change, and why have they, well, what's the argument for why they've brought it about, yeah. I guess?
So the minister says that the case is, in his words, creating uncertainty in business confidence and investment that the government must address. So the government's taken the view that the challenge of reducing climate change emissions in New Zealand should be one that is not addressed through the courts, but instead is addressed through this national statutory framework, the Climate Change Response Act, and primarily through the Emissions Trading Scheme, and not the courts. And the government thinks that if people are allowed to bring claims in the courts, which might result in rulings from judges that companies should do things or should not do things, that this would create regulatory incoherence that this uncertainty for businesses is not helpful. So instead, as I said, the government has announced that it's going to introduce legislation, and in fact it has now introduced legislation that, if Parliament passes it, would stop that Smith and Fonterra case from going ahead even before it had gone to trial.
And so now Smith has gone ahead and said he's going to take the government to court over this change. Now, I'm guessing the legal situation here is slightly different because it's concerning a different decision that's been made. But what's his, I guess, legal basis for making this new claim now?
Yeah, so as you said, he's filed this new claim in the High Court, which is challenging the government's decision-making process, which led up to that announcement by Paul Goldsmith to legislate over the case. And Mike Smith's new claim, it involves a number of points, but broadly he's arguing that the minister and cabinet have acted in ways which were unfair and illegal towards him, and that they've breached the government's legal obligations, and therefore the courts should declare that the decision-making process leading to the announcement of the prohibition of the claim was flawed and unlawful. So one of the parts of the claim relates to who the government spoke to when making up its mind on how to respond to this case. And Smith is arguing that the government had engaged with representatives of the corporate defendants, but hadn't talked to him when they were coming up with their decision to introduce this legislation. And so he says the government acted in a procedurally unfair way. So that's one arm to the argument. One of the other arms to the argument is that the government has acted in a way which is contrary to its obligations under this new piece of legislation called the Regulatory Standards Act. And that Regulatory Standards Act sets out principles for making legislation. And one of the things it does, or one of the principles, is that legislation shouldn't take away people's rights and their property rights without their consent, without good justification, and without fair compensation, and without consulting the people who are directly impacted. And so he's saying, I was never spoken to about this, I was never consulted, or the cabinet decision to ban my court case not only kind of breaches long-standing constitutional principles, but it goes against the principles in this Regulatory Standards Act. So he's asked the court, as I said, for a declaration that that decision-making process was unlawful. And he's asking for the court, in effect, to send the government back to the drawing board to come up with something different. Now, so I've got to say, the claim is a hugely ambitious one. And it's ambitious in part because it seeks to get a court ruling that would prevent the government from introducing legislation to do something that it wants to do. And this comes close to cutting across these long-standing principles of separation of powers, where we have these different branches of government. We've got the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, and under New Zealand's constitutional framework, each of these branches of government should be letting the other branch do their thing without interference. And this type of claim would come close to the judicial branch interfering with the role of both the executive branch and the legislative branch in doing what they do. It would potentially stop Parliament from being able to pass laws, which Parliament might want to pass, and it would stop the executive from implementing its legislative agenda. You know, the electorally developed executive, we voted for him, and he's asking for the court to stop the executive branch from doing what it wants to do. And this type of claim, Not the very first time that it's been brought before the courts, but almost always these claims don't succeed because the courts are very reluctant to be interfering with the legitimate activities of another branch. You know, the judges might have their own view on the best policy here, but they also recognise that the courts have their role, the executive has its role, and Parliament has its role, and it would be generally regarded as inappropriate for the courts to interfere with this process. Many commentators, and me included, think that there are pretty low prospects of success for this claim. I think it's highly unlikely that there would be a declaration that the government has acted unlawfully here. I never say never, because litigation is always uncertain, and Mike Smith has got some brilliant lawyers acting for him, but I think the chances of success are low.
Yeah. That being said, I mean, we've seen on the government side as well, this change and a variety of other changes that they've introduced during this term have been directly in this vein of following up on a High Court ruling and changing the law so that it's no longer valid. Is that also some kind of interference between the branches, as you described earlier?
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And the government interference with a court proceeding, especially a court proceeding that had already started, that had been right the way through the High Court, Court of Appeal and Supreme Court. Supreme Court said this should go to trial. And then the government has introduced legislation which, if passed, would stop that hearing kind of going ahead. And that itself, as you said, it cuts across another long-standing constitutional principle, and it itself is a breach of the separation of powers principle. But we have this constitutional framework in New Zealand, for better or worse, where Parliament reigns supreme. We have parliamentary supremacy, and if Parliament has the numbers, if the political parties or the coalition have the numbers, and they do, then they are able to pass laws, even if constitutionally dubious. They still have the legal powers to be passing laws to do these sorts of things. You know, I said that I didn't think that this claim would succeed. But that doesn't mean that it's completely futile. There are ways in which litigation can be brought, and even if a case is unsuccessful, it might still serve some objectives for the litigants. So it's possible that even if the High Court dismisses this claim, possibly in doing so, the judge might make some comments about the way that the government and the minister and cabinet have acted, which would be helpful for Mike Smith for his kind of broader campaign, which is looking to encourage both corporate entities and the government to do more on climate change. One of the other ways in which the case might be helpful strategically for Mike Smith is that when claims are lodged in court, there's an opportunity to do what's called discovery. This is where you can require the other party to provide documents or copies of documents which are relevant to the matters in the claim. And it may be that this is part of an attempt by Mike Smith to get more documentary evidence about exactly what was going on in the government decision-making process. The government has made public some documents, but probably not all, and there might be further information which would be relevant to this kind of broader campaign for Mike Smith as a result of this. Maybe one other thing to mention is that Mike Smith has another case which is currently before the courts. This is another ambitious claim against the Attorney General as the representative of the New Zealand government, arguing that the government and the Climate Change Response Act under which the government operates is inherently incapable of satisfying the government's treaty obligations to Māori relating to climate change. And that case is set down for hearing in the Supreme Court on the 17th of August, just a little over a month away. And so it's possible that this latest claim by Mike Smith, the existence of that claim might in some way be helpful to his other claim, which is before the Supreme Court, which is coming up for argument in about 6 weeks' time.
We talked about earlier how this case, the initial case, Smith versus Fonterra, was celebrated as sort of a way to open up this realm of climate law or climate litigation in New Zealand. Is that still something that's on the table, or has this been cut off? And if it's been cut off, are there any other pathways that people are looking into right now?
Yeah, so if the legislation stopping the case is passed, as it seems it will, then that opportunity for development of tort law in New Zealand relating to climate change will effectively be stopped. It doesn't mean that that Mike Smith's campaign will stop, because he's got other irons in the fire. There is that Supreme Court hearing against the Attorney General that I mentioned. There are also some international processes which are occurring. There is a request to have the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Climate Change to investigate the way that the New Zealand government is acting, in particular towards Māori here. There is a Waitangi Tribunal claim on climate change, which is also working its way through the process. So these sorts of issues and this campaign by Mike Smith and others is part of a really long game, I think. And the fact that perhaps the Smith and Fonterra proceeding might be stopped, might close that door, but there are other irons in the fire, as I mentioned, and Mike Smith and other Māori and other litigants are taking a really long approach, a long game approach to this. These issues are not going to go away, and they will continue to be argued both before the courts, before the Waitangi Tribunal internationally, and also before the Court of Public Opinion in New Zealand. So the issues are not going away.
That was Associate Professor of Law Vernon Rive speaking to me about Mike Smith versus the government in light of Mike Smith versus Fonterra being put on hold.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.